WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
Hip hip hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
And good morning, Rutherford County. We're going to be talking a little bit about a very vital part of Rutherford County in just a few minutes. And we have Dr. Rita King, and that name is known throughout the county. We're talking about educators and special people, Rita, you're right there at the top. And I know that there's probably a lot of people from campus school and or training school, as I remember it, that'll be listening today and learning a lot about the history of campus school and also about a special event that's going to be occurring pretty soon.
Yes, we have a big event coming up. The Friends of Campus School are going to have an open house at campus school May the 13th, and that's from 4 till 6. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a reception and displays through the years of memorabilia. So we're going to have it displayed by decades. So if you attended campus school or you attended campus school or taught there or were a staff member, just come in and enjoy the festivities. And we're going to also have an exhibit that Shacklets is going to do for us to go with the decades. So, and then we're going to have tours of the building.
You know, we talked a little bit about campus school yesterday because Greg Tucker was on, and he has written a really great book called Rutherford Ramblings, and it's just come out. And, of course, campus school is in there and a lot of the things that have gone on. But are you also going to invite the ones that actually played in the first Little League baseball that the field was right there at campus school, training school at the time?
Okay.
And it was one of the fondest memories that I have in my life is being over there and doing something. And that was the Little League baseball field, of course, when we first played.
Well, if I could find them, I would invite them personally, but I have found three people who attended there in the 30s, and it's Mr. Hal Harding, Jim Womack, and Oma McNabb.
Oh my goodness.
I think they're going to be able to attend the open house, so I am thrilled that they are going to be able to be there. They're excited too.
I don't think any place has more history, especially when we're talking about education, than was it called training school when it first started? Because that's what I knew it as a kid.
Yes, it was training school, and it started in 1911. And I'd like to share just a little bit of history because I don't think most people know the early history. Mm-hmm. But it started, the laboratory program started with John Dewey at the University of Chicago, and he believed children should be taught with the project method, doing hands-on activities and actually being involved instead of sitting in their seats. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big proponent of that philosophy. I think we need to maintain that and emphasize it even more today. But 1898, it's when that philosophy started. 1911 is when they opened the training school, and that was in the basement of Old Main.
Wow.
And so that's when it started, and I think for a little while it was at East End, and that was on East Main Street. Mm-hmm. I don't know. If anybody knows, I'd be glad to hear some of that. But it
Greg
was
Tucker
in the
may be calling in.
Okay, well, that would be good because I don't know very much about East End. Mm-hmm. But then 1911 is when it started over there, and then 1929, and I just read a little bit about this recently. the school was given by the state of Tennessee to the president of the university, Dr. Lyons. It was presented after it was built, and there were two more schools built, and they called it the, you know, in the grand divisions of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So there was one built in Memphis, one built in Murfreesboro, Middle Tennessee, and one built in Johnson City, East Tennessee. East Tennessee, and the other two still exist as far as I know.
That's remarkable. Mm-hmm. It shows you what can be done when you get education involved in a special project, how well it seems to proceed. And then if we can keep some of these private enterprise people out of education, I think we can keep going in a very positive way.
Okay.
It's said by me. You don't have to concur.
I don't have to say anything. Yeah. But I'm just thrilled with the every time I read the history of Campus School and to know that it's still vibrant and that we're carrying on that legacy in teaching and learning. So that's our theme for the open house.
Now, a number of the students over the years were actually children from teachers, weren't they?
Yes.
That was one of the main parts of the ones that would attend there, if I remember
the
correctly.
The majority of them came from the university. That's what I understand. Of course, I wasn't there at the time.
And educators in the local schools around here.
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking to someone just a couple of days ago, and they brought up a very interesting point. They did an IQ test on the students that were going to Campus School at one time, and the average IQ, and I have no idea where this came from, was 117.
I have never heard that, so I don't know.
Which would be above the norm.
I have no idea.
But they have always been successful, haven't they? If you look at the line of success following each school, Campus School has always been right at the top.
And I would say that's because of the involvement of the university in the training program at Campus School, because we have so many professors involved and college students. The students get to work in small groups a lot and have, you know, sometimes one-on-one instruction. So that gives them a lot of opportunities besides just being part of the university campus and all the training that goes on for the Campus School teachers.
One thing, you think about Vanderbilt, and it's been a very successful hospital for many, many years, and they bring in a lot of the doctors to be the students, and they see all of the great techniques, and it seems to work well when they're working with the parents. And this seems to be kind of a little bit like that, because you bring over the prospective teachers that are going to be teaching throughout their career, and they're brought over to Campus School to assist. Now, how does that work? I've always wondered, when you've got people that are going through MTSU at that particular time, and they have decided they want to have education as their career, they're just getting started, kind of. How does that work with the...
And that was where the training school's role started, with those teachers who were just beginning their education programs. And they learned to how to teach by just observing in classrooms. And then after they've made several observations and worked with the teachers, then they are taught how to write lesson plans. And their first experiences are usually with one student or with a small group. So they start teaching, and then the classroom teacher guides them and assists them through that small teaching experience, and then they have some experiences with a total class. So those are sort of the steps that they go through as they, and we always refer to them as pre-service students, so pre-service teachers.
One of the things that's been so successful in the schools in this state and in this nation is the hands-on. Each individual child has their own identity, and are you able to have more hands-on, one-on-one with the students at Campus School than you would say at some of the other public schools?
I would say so, because at times when I was principal, that was one of the joys of my career.
Well, just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Now, I left Campus School in 95, and I was principal there for 7 years. But I would enjoy walking through the building when the college students were teaching, and they were in the hallways teaching and on the front steps and in the basement, and some of them even out under the trees working with the children and teaching. So they did have more hands-on experiences.
That's why our system has been so successful, hasn't it? Because you're looking at the entire child when you're working with that particular student. And everything that's involved in making a person successful is right there in your hands, isn't it?
Yes. I attended as a guest. I didn't teach these students, but there was a class in the 70s that had a reunion. They invited me, and they were standing on the front steps sharing their memories, and I was just thrilled to hear all of them say that they were always treated the same at Campus School and always felt special, that every student felt special. So that thrilled me.
You're following the line of a lot of successful people, aren't you?
I am.
And one of the ladies that, like you, knew a lot of the individuals that were there at Campus School, Liz Bennett, was going to be on with you, but I understand that basically she chickened out.
Well, she's in Granville. If you haven't been to Granville, you need to go to Granville. Liz Bennett's up there in that little historic, that's where she's from. She's in that little historic town today, and they're having a big event this weekend. So,
well, now, something as important as Campus School, she should have been here.
Yeah, well, she's in charge, as you know. She would be in charge at Granville and taking care of everything. It's a wonderful place.
Now, there was two Liz's. There was Liz Bennett and Liz Worley. And as we all know, with both of them named Liz, somebody had to change their name. So Liz Worley had to go by Ips. And I've always wondered how that worked out. And I know that she is a very good friend of yours. Tell us a little bit about Liz Worley.
Well, Martha Hampton hired me, and then Liz Worley became my principal. Mm-hmm. I was teaching fourth grade at Campus School. Liz had taught first grade there for many years. Mm-hmm. So this was in the late 70s, early 80s. And about that time, she got a group from New York. That was one of the biggest events I remember with Liz. She brought in a dance troupe with a grant. And we trained, you know, and worked with special instructors from the New York dance troupe. And they were there for, I think, a week or two. But it was just a phenomenal experience for the teachers and the children. But let me tell you, Truman, during Liz Worley's years, I won't ever forget Alex Little referring to those years as the glory days of Campus School. So I'd like to pay that tribute to Liz, because I always tried to follow in those steps.
You always want to. Campus School has the bar already risen very high in education. And what is what do you attribute to, other than I know that the partnership with MTSU and Rutherford County, it's listed as a public school, and it's so interesting as far as how it is controlled or how it is run, because you've got the university involved in it, you got the Rutherford County Education Board, you got the superintendent of Rutherford County. How does that work? In it seems like over the years there's been very few problems that have occurred because of that kind of separation of responsibilities.
Well, in the, I think it was in the 70s, and it was probably about the time that I became a teacher there, right before that. The university and the county created a contract. So Rutherford County Schools hires the teachers. And so every teacher at Rutherford County and all of the educational assistants are hired through the county, but with the approval and the input of the Department of Education. Okay, so when someone's interviewed for principal or teacher, the education department assists in that role in hiring the teachers there. And at one time, they had to have a master's you know, so mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what the standard is right now. It may be even higher than that. And then the university took care of the maintenance of the building. Mm-hmm. And I understand today that the university funnels some of the money for maintenance to the county, because I know the county's made a lot of improvements at Campus School recently.
Do you think the students at Campus School, I don't know why I keep wanting to go to training school. It just, I don't think they should have ever changed that name. But anyway, do you think they understand how special it is to be at Campus School?
I think so. And that's one reason we wanted to have this open house, was to share a lot of that history through the decades. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to what you said about training school. When I talked to the gentleman yesterday, Mr. Womack, about coming, he said, "I just don't believe I can say campus school." He said, "I'll just have to say training school." Yeah. So that is fine. We love training school.
Why was it changed anyway? Did you have that little?
I have no idea. I don't know. But it's still referred to as training school by many, many people.
You know, I was watching a movie the other day, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of campus school, although the movie that I was watching was basically a boys' school in England in Goodbye, Mr. Chips. You've probably seen it 100 times. I know I have. And it kind of reminds me of that particular movie, but because the focus is on education, and it's also on making these students successful in their coming years. Does that kind of fit the mold of what I'm putting campus school in?
Yes, and it reminds me of something. We always wanted the students, you know, to thrive in whatever they were interested in. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite activities that we did, and it was during Liz Worley's time mm-hmm. as principal, we had Fabulous Fridays, and this is a good example of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The last 3 or 4 Fridays in May, we designed the classes on those Fridays to fit what the students wanted to learn. Wow. So we let them tell us weeks ahead what they wanted to be, what they were interested in, so it could be. Sometimes they'd be radiology, dentistry work, fishing, being a fisherman.
I'll be there.
Modeling, driving cars. So we took them to the university to drive those, what do they call those, simulated vehicles,
and we
took them out to ponds, and we took them to play tennis, and so we probably had 50 classes for those students, and they got to choose 3 out of the ones that were listed, and we got specialists to come in and teach those skills.
That's amazing.
And the students got to attend the ones that they were interested in, so they learned in depth how to do whatever it was.
They learned how to use their own minds for the things that they have special aptitudes for, don't they?
Right.
And I think that's so important, that they can solve problems, they can do all these other things. You don't need to put a child in a robotic environment, do you?
No, I think this, you know, I wish more schools would have those hands-on mm-hmm. experiences for students and keep their minds stimulated. I hate walking in school where students are sitting there with their arms folded, you know, and they're bored, and mm-hmm. they can't wait to get home and get up and do things. So, you know, I know we have to have tests, but I think teachers need more time to just share the love of learning and help students get involved in their own interest.
Is campus school being attacked like a lot of the other public schools right now, as far as how they're assimilating the process of going through school and being educated in the way that they're almost, it's tapered down into a small area of what they're focusing on, and it's not like it used to be. I mean, they're not able to use their own judgments and use their special abilities that they have. It seems to be they're concentrating on math, they're concentrating on science and some of those other things, and tests seems to be the forefront of how you're able to judge how a child is able to cope with what's being taught. that's not what education has always been about. It's been about the total person. How are you able to sidestep that, being in a partnership with MTSU, but also working inside the county governmental structure?
Well, as I said, the teachers at Camp School are Rutherford County teachers, and I think, as you know, Rutherford County schools are, you know, have some of the top schools in the nation.
They really do.
Yes, and acclaimed in the state of Tennessee, you know, for their programs. So Rutherford County Schools provides a lot of activities for students, and they promote hands-on learning and using manipulatives in the classroom and project learning. But then they have to stay focused on the test, too, because of the state guidelines and the national emphasis. So my personal philosophy is that we should be testing students to see what they know so we can go to the next skill on their level and move them forward. So I've always, when I retired, I was sitting at home drinking a cup of coffee and heard on the TV they were going to have more tests in Tennessee. And I got up and started calling the legislators and went down there and talked to each one of them for 10 minutes about, you know, over-testing our students.
They need to start listening.
As I know, they have to test.
Yes.
I do know that, but I just think they're tested too much.
Now, tell me some more about the history of Campus School. And I tell you one thing. If anybody has ever walked inside Campus School, I love being in there. It takes me back to a lot of fond memories. But when they built that school, it's almost an architectural wonder when you walk in there. It's beautiful.
It has those gorgeous, huge columns out in the front. And then the steps have just been redone. And I've heard so many stories from students about what happened on the steps at Campus School. They seem to have that kind of burned in their memories. But I had a teacher come in when I was principal, and she had taught there in the 30s. Her name was Miss Andrina Briney. And I think later in life she became a Green. And she told me once, well, in her little high heels running up the steps at Campus School, I had her as a guest for the faculty. And she told me that when she walked in that building as a teacher in the 1930s, she felt like the learning was in the walls.
Oh, my.
And she said, I feel like that today. The learning is still in the walls.
Now, that's a great saying.
I know. I just thought that was phenomenal. But she was in her 80s and still wearing her black patent leather heels. So I always admired her teaching and her energy level. But Campus School's history is just, when you mention it to people who attended there, the love of learning and the love of the joy of life, you can feel it with them. So
I know that you have fond memories. When you see some of the children that were in your classes that they're now grown adults, how does that make you feel? Because I know most of them have turned out to be very successful in life. And of course, you can judge success in many different ways. But I know that they attribute a lot of their success to you and their other teachers at Campus School.
Let me share one story. I taught David Price. Who is the
pitcher
for the Tampa Bay Rays. And
Do you get special tickets to the games?
No, I don't.
Ah.
But I went to a charity event he had. Mm-hmm. And when I saw him, I said, David, I just perspire every time you get on the mound, you know. And he said, I do, Miss King. I do, too. I just sweat. So anyway, it's just a thrill to see them go through life and see how successful they are. Many of them are teachers.
Wow.
And have gone into education in different fields, you know, other than teaching and education. But I think that's from being around the college students.
Mm-hmm.
And they were often called friends, big friends. I know Liz Worley called them big friends. You know, our big friends are coming today. So we had a lot of ties with them, and that's been there through the years since 1911.
You know, I hope that you have a large number of teachers that have retired to come over there and share some of their experiences with the current teachers. That would have to be very special for all of them.
Yes. And if anyone has anything, you know, they'd like to share on the day of their open house, we would like that. Like I mentioned, the East End history.
Yeah.
So there's so many things through the years. We didn't have much history in the 40s. And of course, I'm sure that's because of the war years. But we have found a lot of memorabilia through the years.
That would have to be really something special, especially if they could also bring pictures with them of some of, maybe some of the students were there, or some of the activities, or some of the things that were going on, and be able to share those with the students. I'm sure that the open house is also going to be a learning experience for the current students that are there.
Yes, and they'll be coming through and even participating in the reception. So all the students will get to come down after lunch. We'll have everything set up that morning on the 13th, and we want the students to be steeped in the history of Campus School. So they'll get to enjoy everything that's in the gym, and they'll get some refreshments that we haven't told them about yet. So,
Now, I know that you're already educating the kids at what really Campus School means to them and the community, and also the school.
Well, they're doing some things now to prepare. You know, I'm in the classrooms. I had some teachers tell me that they were talking about some of the trivia through the years. So we're hoping that they'll learn a lot and be real proud of the experience that they're having over there now. But the college students are participating now. And I failed to mention this, but in the new program for college students, they can have their residency. One, many of them will be at Campus School in those pre-service level teaching experiences, and today it is called Residency One, and that's before student teaching.
Oh, okay. Now, I know Liz Bennett prepared some of the stuff that we're talking about today. And
Liz Bennett taught second grade at Campus School, and then she was a Rutherford County supervisor and a good friend of yours.
Yes, yes. I always thought of the world of her, and I was hoping she was going to be here because we could talk about some things that she did not want to talk about, but unfortunately, she escaped somehow. And one of the things I was looking at, Miss Mary Hall was on the staff in 1929 training school, and they received their degrees at George Peabody School, where they learned how to implement the project method, and we had talked about that earlier. And I find that fascinating. How did that work?
Let me tell you a little bit about Miss Mary Hall and why I know so much about her.
Yes.
When I went to Peabody College to get my doctorate, I chose Miss Mary Hall as my topic for my dissertation. So I wrote a book about Miss Mary Hall. And the family was wonderful. But I'll just keep this to the Campus School stories. She taught third grade there. She was the first teacher to move into the building. And she had gone to Peabody College.
Yeah.
So she brought that John Dewey philosophy of, you know, of using the project method. But one of the main things she did was talk about how the classroom should look like the home environment.
Oh.
So they didn't have curtains in the classroom. They didn't have plants. And one of the biggest thing that people remembered when I interviewed them was that she went around to schools as a supervisor. She did that too in Tennessee, and they started moving the chairs together. Remember, if you look at the pictures, the chairs were in rows and many of them were screwed to the floor. One teacher even told me that she told them to bring their screwdrivers Monday morning so the teachers could unscrew the seats and they could move them into small groups. But Miss Mary taught there for many, many years before she became a professor, a full-time professor at the university, and then she was dean of women for a year or so.
And she definitely believed in the project method that was taught at Peabody School, didn't she?
Oh, yes. She brought that philosophy. Yes, and many teachers had gone to Peabody.
Oh.
And so they brought that John Dewey project method, hands-on learning philosophy with them.
You know, one of the amazing stories about Miss Mary, and she was in my church at Science Hill Church of Christ. She was a Kittrell girl, right in between Kittrell and Readville. But her dad was the doctor in that area, and she would ride with him, horse and buggy, to you didn't go to the doctor came to you at that particular time. And Miss Mary Hall loved medicine so much that she wanted to become a doctor. And her dad said, no, women can't be doctors. So that's how she actually got into education. He actually talked her out of becoming a physician at the time, which is, I think, is very fascinating. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
More power, more productivity, more for your money. It all starts at Murfreesboro Kubota during the Kubota Get Something Started open house. Stop in Saturday, April the 26th from 8 in the morning until 2 p.m. for the special savings on Kubota compact tractors, zero-turn mowers, utility vehicles, and more. Plus, Kubota financing as low as 0% APR. The Kubota Get Something Started open house at Murfreesboro Kubota on Saturday, April 26th. That's this Saturday. See you there.
When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help you devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs.
Hi, I'm Laura Kendrick. I'm the finance manager here. One of the most rewarding things about my job is I get to be in contact with the home care aides that we have. They have a real heart for our clients.
Everybody needs a little help now and then, and At Home Care is here to help.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Tuning. I'm the HR manager at Home Care. We at Home Care want to hire the best health care aides for those who really want to stay in their homes. We want people who care and go over, above, and beyond. We do that. Background checks to make sure that we do have the best. We stress that it's a heart that matters and that the people depend on them for their needs. Some of our clients have no one else and may be their only contact for the day.
Find out more at homecaretn.com or by calling 713-4639.
Hello again, everybody. This is Hope Hines. You know, usually I'd be talking with you about sports. Today, I'm talking politics. My friend Rusty Dallas is a candidate for Rutherford County Register of Deeds. Rusty is a seasoned business professional, MTSU alum, and has lived in Rutherford County over 45 years. Vote for Rusty Dallas on May 6th. Early voting starts April 16th. Visit RustyDallas.com for more information.
I'm Rusty Dallas, and I approve this message. Paid for by Friends to Elect Rusty Dallas, Butch Vaughn, Treasurer.
Welcome to 4-H Junior Camp. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. Registration is now open for 4-H Junior Camp at the Extension Office on John Rice Boulevard in Murfreesboro. You don't have to be in a 4-H club to attend. Rutherford County students will attend camp on the week of June 23rd through 27th at $275. This is an overnight camp held in Crossville. More information can be obtained by calling 615-898-7710. You'll find that number, and you'll find a link to register on our website, WGNSradio.com. MTSU's annual ceremony recognizing its retiring employees was a springtime celebration even more joyous than usual because of those 57 workers, 1,205 combined years of service devoted to students and the campus community. The April 16th event honoring employees retiring in the 2013-14 academic year featured happy reunions with former colleagues, even a selfie snapped with University President Sidney McPhee. Oakland softball, behind Lacey Reinus's 8 strikeouts, won 2-0 at Riverdale Tuesday night. Lady Pats pitcher gave up only 2 hits to the Lady Warriors, which beat Oakland March 26, 9-0. Malia Gray and Savannah Decker went 2-for-3 in the game as the Lady Patriots had 5 hits. 2 of those came in the fourth when they scored their only 2 runs of the game. With the win, Oakland improves 8-2 in the district, 31-12 overall. The Lady Warriors dropped 28-9 and 6-4 in the district. Tennessee's Economic Community Development Director Bill Haggerty gave a bright business future for this area to the Murfreesboro Rotary Club Tuesday. He noted last year the Volunteer State was named the most fiscally responsible in the nation. He says businesses like to hear that. This is WGNS News.
Brought to you by Kester Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro.
Frequent headaches can be caused by many conditions, and I can help you find relief. Call 895-1253 for a free consultation.
Brought to you by Bosch Dishwashers. Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch Dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch 2-rack models. See yours at Best Buy today.
This is Eloise Gaither, former Circuit Court Clerk. I would like to tell you about a friend, Lance Jenkins, who is running for Circuit Court Clerk. Lance has over 18 years' experience working for the Rutherford County government. With his vast knowledge and leadership, Lance will make a great hands-on clerk who will move the clerk's office in the right direction. Lance Jenkins would appreciate your vote and support for Circuit Court Clerk in the upcoming election on May the 6th.
I am Lance Jenkins, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the Lance Jenkins Campaign for Circuit Court Clerk. Linda E. Jenkins, Treasurer.
Weather Eye.
Mostly sunny skies this afternoon. High in the lower 70s and northeast winds around 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly clear skies, a low near 46 and northeast winds of 5 to 10. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Vujitsky. Right now, 57.
Premier 6 Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Popcorn pop fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Premier 6 on Broad and Jackson Heights.
Talk Radio WGNS. Putting the power of your free speech into action on air and online at WGNSradio.com. The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with Dr. Rita King. And this part of her show is brought to you by Metal Max Roofing and Siding. Located at 900 Captain Joe Fulgham Drive, just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro. Steel is a unique material that can be recycled, conserving energy and natural resources. Steel is also an excellent cost-effective alternative to asphalt shingle roofs. Metal roofs are not only beautiful, resistant to wind damage and to roof rust, but some are less expensive than asphalt shingles. They offer factory direct pricing, so you can buy your roofing and siding material straight from the manufacturer without the middleman. Go by and see their friendly staff today and let them show you over 20 different colors of Metal Max roofing and siding. Give them a call today at 494-1693, 494-1693. Pull them up on the website, www.metalmaxllc.com. You know, Rita, I can't call you doctor. I just can't do that. I don't know why.
Call me Rita.
You know, you have had, when you were principal, you had a very dignified position, and I think everybody looked up to it. So how in the world did you get the title of Old Crow?
We were having a promotion at WGNS. I'm known as the Old Crow.
Seen the picture when you were the Old Crow.
It was on the front page of the News Journal.
Yeah.
Made my mother so proud. WGNS gave me an Old Crow suit when we were promoting sales of tickets and we were having fundraisers. Mm-hmm. So I would go around the school dressed in the Old Crow suit. And I didn't talk, so somebody went with me, and we told the children, the class that had the most sales for the fundraiser, I would bring them to City Cafe for an ice cream. So the Old Crow, for several years, walked students from campus school up East Main, waving at everybody in an Old Crow suit, and then we would go in City Cafe and have our ice cream and walk back down East Main Street to campus school. So it was just a tradition. We did it many, many times.
Now, all those people who have wondered who the Old Crow was, they now know, don't they?
Yes. And
that and being a tradition, that was special. And there you go. You had a sense of humor. And without a sense of without that type of personality, it's very difficult to reach kids, isn't it?
Yes.
Because they love people that are like you.
Right. I enjoyed doing it. And old Gary Simpson, when he owned City Cafe,
yes,
he called me. I would take professional friends in, you know, to have dinner. And Gary Simpson would say, "Hello, Old Crow," when I walked in the door. So he called me that all the years after that. So I have a reputation.
You know, I learned something this morning. I always thought it was a buzzard.
I'm glad.
One of those black-headed buzzards, right?
Yeah. I didn't think about it being a crow, but now I understand. I thought it kind of, by the time it was here when I was here in the early and mid-90s, it kind of smelled like a buzzard by that time.
Oh, you remember it, huh?
Oh, yeah, I remember it.
If you can imagine getting inside of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not for me. Not the way that thing. Its tour of duty was over, I think.
You know, that does make education special, doesn't it? They're going to remember all the things that they did, the kids will, because their minds are so open during that time. And what you did is you're developing an entire group of kids, the entire person. And I think that's really special.
Well, I have to share one more thing, and I'll give a shout out to Dr. Sherry King. There are two doctors.
Who is the current?
The current principal at Campus School. And she just told me this week that a lot of people still come in the building and ask her about Homer. And Homer was a rabbit that I had. He was a big white rabbit, and he lived on the first floor of Campus School.
Oh,
and
wow.
He ran around. He would go in classrooms and lay beside the children when they were reading. But I asked the bus students the morning I got him if they wanted to name him. We were all sitting in the lobby. It was the real early morning students. Mm-hmm. And they said, let's name him Homer. And so I called Miss Pittard later in the day, and I said, is it okay if we name the rabbit after Mr. Pittard? And she said, I'm sure he would have been honored. So
those of us who had him as principal, we could have named him something else to go along with that. But I tell you what, everybody respected Dr. Homer Pittard. I mean, and I loved his wife, Mabel Pittard, who was the eighth grade teacher over at Mitchell Nielsen. What a super bunch. We have been blessed in this community to have some of the finest educators in the country, and I think that has really been special. And a lot of it can be attributed to Middle Tennessee State University, who has been a partner with us and has developed a number of really top-notch teachers. And it's a great profession to go into, but the people, this country, and especially the parents, need to look up to those people and admire them for what they're doing, especially when we're talking about dealing with their own kids.
Think about the faculty at Campus School. They're dealing with the students, who are all Rutherford County students, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the teachers have to do their role for the county, for the university, and then they do their guidance, you know, of the student teachers or the pre-service teachers. So you have to have a lot of energy to teach at Campus School.
Now, when you're talking to Dr. Sherry King, Rita, are you like a lot of people who have left professions? You want to share some of the things that happened when you were there. That had to be something special for both you and her.
Yes, I have. She invited me in the building the first day after mm-hmm. she was hired, and I've been over there a lot. Of course, we've been collecting the history for this event. Mm-hmm. She's been extremely supportive. Oh, by the way, right now we're trying to find a film from the 1930s.
Oh, wow.
So it was a film of the classrooms, and I used to show it when I was principal, and we've had trouble finding that. So if anyone has a tip for me as to where that film could be, it was on a VHS mm-hmm. at the time. So anyway,
someone has to have it, right?
That's right. So the Gore Center's helped us a lot with the history, and the Gore Center is trying to find it for us too. So, but the teachers there, you know, work very closely with the college students and with the students. So they're involved. We used to cut on both sides of the fence, the university mm-hmm. and the county.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to fulfill both of those roles.
Do you ever feel an allegiance toward one or the other, or is it just automatically accepted as a partnership? But, you know, it's such an unusual way of dealing with education. I don't know of many places that have what MTSU has with Campus School in Rutherford County.
Well, I'm assuming they still have the role of associate professors, mm-hmm. the teachers there,
mm-hmm.
but they also attend all of the training and workshops and in-services that Rutherford County has for them to attend. So, as I said, it's attending to both sides.
When the teachers who are currently going through MTSU to become or the teachers to become teachers, they have to hear something from time to time that's new on the horizon that may be something that can be implemented into the schools right now. Do the teachers hear that and then they start sharing it with the principals and other people that are involved, maybe people on the school board, is something that could be something special? Because I find in some areas right now, and I'm not talking about Rutherford County schools, but a lot of the teachers are afraid to say anything that would be new or maybe not going along with the program that's coming down, say, from Washington and Nashville. And I find that really disturbing. for the simple reason that nobody should have a better voice in what's going on in education than the people who are providing that education and work directly with the kids and watch them develop. Do they have that openness to be able to share with other people? I'm not sure that the prospective teachers who are wanting to be teachers understand that yet.
Well, I think, you know, the main restrictions on the teachers now, the ones I've been dealing with, and I've been traveling and training teachers a lot across the country, and what I hear is they just feel restricted by the guidelines.
Right.
I don't know if it's their voice, like you're talking about, and bringing in new things.
Oh, they're pressured not to say anything.
Oh, well, I don't know about that, but I just know that they have to follow so many guidelines for testing
right.
and preparation for testing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to just mention Common Core.
Yes.
What I have seen, what my dealings with the Common Core, I think that it teaches students how to think, have deeper thinking and higher order thinking skills. And mm-hmm. they use more manipulatives, more hands-on activities, so they understand concepts and they're able to actually do whatever they're learning about. So I'm a proponent of Common Core, but I haven't studied it in depth. So
I can understand where it's been in some of the other states that the teachers are not happy with Common Core.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people have said.
And they're saying just the opposite of what you're saying. It doesn't teach them to think and be able to utilize their own special aptitudes toward certain subjects and things like that.
Well, I did a lot of research recently because a friend and I've written a book about the new standards.
Mm-hmm.
And we've, addressed the Common Core in that. And I do think it does teach students how to think.
Now, what is your book? Have you?
Standard-Based Learning for Differentiated Instruction. It just came out in December.
Ooh, that's an interesting subject.
Yeah, differentiated instruction is just a way to reach students who need to work alone, the ones that need to work in small groups. So it shows students, teachers, how to organize classrooms and use activities that get students engaged with active learning.
Would that work in a classroom now where a teacher is pretty much relegated to the test and make sure that the children are successful with the test results so they can continue their career in teaching or otherwise being snipped and cut off?
To prepare them for the test, they need to understand in depth the concepts or the skills mm-hmm. that they need. And in order to do that, you differentiate. You prepare some lessons the students need to work alone because mm-hmm. they don't understand it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Some students are ready to work on grade level, and some students are ready to go on past grade level.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to work with different levels, and that's what differentiated instruction does.
But are we putting too much pressure on the academics part and not on the total child as you're able to work with the child? Because, as you know, teachers are having to be parents and everything else. Now, they have so many hats that they're wearing in the classroom that it's almost impossible to keep up when you're just focusing with blinders on just particular things.
Well, I think, you know, as a teacher and principal at campus school, we always emphasize the whole child in everything that we did, you know, whether it was preparing for the test or...
But campus school has that special ingredient that the other schools do not have. They have the new teachers coming in and more of a group hands-on where there is not as much singular pressure on one person because they're able to split out the responsibilities to somewhat.
Oh, yeah, the responsibilities are overwhelming for every teacher.
Yeah,
They need more assistance.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Rita King.
Bud's Tire has been helping Rutherford County with tires, oil changes, brakes, and more since 1987. This is Kay Mitchell, and even though we opened Bud's Tire in 1987, Bud started changing tires with his father next to the old hardware store in the 1950s. Just as it was true in the 50s, it is still true today. At Bud's Tire, you will always get friendly customer service. Visit Bud's Tire on the Old Woodbury Highway or call us at 896-TIRE. That's 896-8473.
Rain, sleet, or shine, it's early voting time. April the 16th is the day it begins. May the 1st is the day it ends. I'm Melissa Harrell, your Republican candidate for Circuit Court Clerk, a lifelong resident of Rutherford County. I'm the daughter of Rebecca and the late Buddy Harrell, and the sister of the late Mark Harrell. The Circuit Court Clerk position needs someone that is passionate about the work that this job demands, about their community and the residents that make this county what it is. I am that person. Vote Melissa Harrell for Circuit Court Clerk. Paid for by Friends to Elect, Melissa Harrell, Treasurer Laura Williams.
If you are looking for a place to get well before returning home or to assisted living, look no further than Northside Healthcare Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. Northside features a state-of-the-art therapy department offering physical, occupational, and speech therapies, provides daily activities so that residents can make the most of their time at Northside. They work to ensure that their residents receive the very best medical care possible. Get well, live well at Northside Healthcare on East MTCS Drive beside Middle Tennessee Christian School.
I'm Jimmy Evans, and I ask for your vote for county mayor. As county mayor, I will cut taxes and decrease the size of government. Under Mayor Burgess, taxes have been raised by 16%, and he recently vowed to continue business as usual. So the choice is clear. For lower taxes and smaller government, vote Jimmy Evans for county mayor.
Paid for by friends of Jimmy Evans, Casey Vaughn, treasurer.
I'm Jimmy Evans, conservative Republican for county mayor, and I approve this message.
Hey, pool owners. Leslie Swimming Pool Supplies has a new store in Murfreesboro. With over 50 years of experience, Leslie's has become America's most trusted pool supply store. They provide expert advice, free water testing, and the best products to keep your pool in shape. Join them this Friday through Monday for the grand opening and get 20% off everything in the store. They're located at 2445 Memorial Boulevard next to Rite Aid. And while you're in there, say hello to Chris, the manager. Leslie's, pool care and savings made easy.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with Dr. Rita King, and we're talking about campus school. And this part of her show is brought to you by Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat. And are you hearing everything around you clearly? Did you know that 7 out of 10 Americans suffer a hearing loss after the age of 50? Now there is a way to restore your hearing, and you need to give Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat a call today. Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat has been Rutherford County's trusted provider of taking care of all the coughing, sneezing, stuffed-up feelings for almost two decades. Their team of caring physicians, audiologists, nurses, and administrators are standing ready for you and your family so you can improve your style of healthy living. They also have a mobile hearing unit that will actually come to your home, diagnose, and fit you with a hearing device right in the comfort of your living room. Call Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat today at 848-9265. That's 848-9265. You know, Rita, we get involved and all going everywhere, and sometimes we leave off things that we need to talk about. And one, of course, is the Friends at Campus School.
Well, I mentioned them a couple of times, but this group was formed several years ago, and it was basically to get a database together, you know, of former students. Some people say alumni, but former students and teachers and staff members, you know, as contacts. And Dr. Kathy Clark, the dermatologist, was involved in that, and she helped form Friends of Campus School. So we have a board now. We meet regularly, and we invite anyone to become a friend of Campus School, and you can do that at our open house. But one of the major roles of Friends of Campus School is to provide things that are difficult for the school to obtain because of the funding, the way it comes to the county and the university. So we're there to fill in the gaps and to assist and support Campus School.
Now, one of the groups, of course, is Christy Houston Foundation, and one of my good buddies, Bob Mifflin. We were in the class of 59 here, and he's been president of that organization for a long, long time, and a great board. And then, of course, the Rutherford County Schools are very strong in that. And one person that we haven't mentioned would be Dr. Sidney McPhee.
Well, Dr. McPhee wanted to be a part of our open house, but he's going to be in China. So he's going to be doing some
program. He has been to China before, I believe.
He has. But there
must be something over there, that Great Wall, I guess. Maybe that's a good place to go.
But he is going to have a pre-event for the open house. So he's coming May the 6th at 1 o'clock to campus school or the training school. And he's going to make a presentation for the student body announce and talk about our open house. So we really appreciate Dr. McPhee's support and Andrew Ottman, who's over there. Mr. Ottman has been assisting us with the open house. So we're real excited about their support.
Now tell me again when it's going to be. What's going to be happening there? Because this is going to be special, and everybody that's listening is invited to go to Campus School. If you've had a connection with it and a great love for that special school, you need to be listening.
The open house is May the 13th from 4 till 6. Everyone is invited, and you can park at the church there in the Bell Street parking lot. So we hope that you'll be able to join us. There is an elevator that has been installed since I was there. So if you can park in the back and come down the ramp, you can come up on the elevator to the main floor. We're going to have a reception, display of photos and memorabilia in the gym by decades. So you can just go to the decade area that you were at the training school or campus school. And then Gloria Shacklett is going to have her exhibit of the history of Murfreesboro to go with our displays, and you'll have tours of the building. So it's a very informal time for you to just greet old friends and enjoy the history of campus school. So come celebrate our legacy and teaching and learning at campus school.
Now, do you think 4 to 6 is enough time to probably get everybody
not
through there?
Probably not, but
they're not going to have to spend a whole lot of time parking, are they? You're going to take care of that.
We're going to assist with the parking.
Oh, that's going to be super, because I know that going through there and when your grandkids go through and things like that, it's just a small area there, and you say, well, there's plenty of parking, but there's really not. But you're doing shared parking on that particular day, right?
Right.
Which is great. Well, Rita, it's been fun.
Well, thank you.
If Brian would let me, I would go on with another hour for you, but he seems to be he has his own responsibilities he's got to take care of.
Yeah, I could do another hour about Miss Mary Hall.
One of them is to get him off the air. That's one of my responsibilities. I struggle with it every day.
You know I love Brian. I really do.
Well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Tell both Liz hi for me.
I will do it.
Sometimes I have friends, and the only way I can talk to them is through somebody else.
Okay.
Through over the years.
I'll be glad to.
Thank you, Rita. And I know you're going to have a great day over there. That's going to be special.
Well, we are so excited.
Oh, I know you are. We'll see you guys in the morning at 9 o'clock, and don't forget about Campus Code.